in the morning. WJG.
Rock and roll birthday out there, Neil Diamond. How do you think Neil Diamond is, Dr. Snow?
I'm going to give Neil 68.
That's not bad. He's 72 today. Now, this is not Neil Diamond. You may be wondering, why am I playing this song? Well, Neil Diamond wrote this song for the Monkees when he was part of a huge songwriting emporium in New York City there that included Carole King and Neil Sedaka and a whole bunch of other people. Before he had his huge solo career, which continues to this day, he wrote a lot of hit songs for the Monkees. This is Smash Mouth's version from the Shrek movie. You say, well, Barry, why aren't you playing a Neil Diamond song? He had a lot of good songs, didn't he? Couldn't get any of them to play out of the computer. I don't know why. Well, software issue.
I'm a believer.
I like Smash Mouth, which is hard to say. Smash Mouth's version. Try and say that three times real fast. Of I'm a Believer. And then I saw her face. Also, happy birthday to Aaron Neville, the fine Cajun blues singer. He's 72. Ray Stevens, the guitar Zan guy. He's 74. Ed Helms, whom you see on The Office. He now runs The Office on NBC, their final season. We're going to have to see what happens to him as The Office has its final season. Ed Helms is 39. By the way, Aaron Neville, 72. Ray Stevens, 74. Actress Misha Barton, who was on The O.C., if you remember her. She's kind of done nothing since then. 27. And remember Mary Lou Retton? Sweet little Mary Lou Retton, the Olympian,
yes,
the gymnast. She's 45 today.
Hard to
and she still looks cute as a button, by the way, even at the age of 45. By the way, we got an email. Barry, yesterday was Jill Gerard's. It's Jill. Gil? Gil Gerard? Jill Gerard? Gil Gerard. I think it's Gil Gerard, the actor. It was his birthday yesterday, and I said he was on Battlestar Galactica. A listener says, Barry, Gil Gerard was on Buck Rogers in the 23rd century or some such century. He was not in Battlestar Galactica. That is correct. I made a mistake there. He was also, however, married in real life to one hot actress, as I recall. Connie Selica, perhaps? I don't know. Connie Selica is now married to John Tesh, the musician and former host of Entertainment Tonight. He might have been married to Connie Selica. I don't know. But thanks for the email. Dr. Tony Snow's here.
Hello.
A surprise visit from Dr. Tony Snow.
I am so glad to be here, Barry. I was thinking I was off, but it's the last Thursday that I have a conflict. And this month, there are five Thursdays.
Yeah, there are five Thursdays in January. This whole month has been bizarre in terms of, because a lot of our guests that appear are scheduled based on what weekday of the month that is, for example. For example, Senator Pat Toomey is supposed to be with us the third Monday of every month.
Okay.
And so, but this month has been throwing everything off because
of
the holiday. And then, as you said, a lot of the weekdays, there are five of them this month in January because it's a 31-day month.
That's right.
So it's kind of thrown everything off. But you're here, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you, Barry.
We can always use your good, sound, healthy advice from Community Health Net. For those people who aren't familiar with Community Health Net, give them a little quick tour.
Oh, well, thank you, Barry. We are a federally qualified healthcare facility with primary medical care and also dental care. Our main office for medical care is 1202 State Street, and we have an office at 4401 Iroquois Avenue for medical care, and we have four dental offices. Everyone is welcome. We want you to come in if you need care, if you want care, if you want to get a primary care home, please come. Our number is 455-7222, and you can call us there for information on how to get into the dental offices as well. We slide our fees to try to make it affordable to everyone, and we welcome you to our care.
And of course, Dr. Snow and his lovely wife, Kathy Iori, are also involved in this huge medical business called Wellsville. Medical corporation called Wellsville.
Oh, well, Barry.
That produces a fine little television show that you can see on Saturday mornings on Fox 66. It's a fun show for the whole family, and you might learn something.
Well, thank you, Barry, for saying that. We are so delighted to be getting ready to start filming our fourth season with our partner GE Transportation, and we're delighted to come into your homes. We try to share a little knowledge. We have a lot of fun. We talk about how important it is for us all to take care of ourselves and how we all deserve deserve long, healthy, and happy lives.
Any big guest stars this season?
Well, we're going to see, Barry. We've had three Olympians last season, and including Gail Devers, who was a delight. She's a very much a motivational speaker, and she has the three gold medals in track and field, and it's been a delight meeting folks with similar-minded folks who want to make a difference in the health and happiness of other people.
Gil Gerard might be available to be on the show.
Oh, Gil,
don't think he's really doing anything right now. Anyway, what's on your mind today, Dr.
Well, Barry, as I was running over here, going through the park at the parking meter, climbing over a pile of snow far higher than my boots, you know, I wanted to talk about just the safety at this time of the year. It's a beautiful time of the year. It's a cleansing and even a rejuvenating time of the year in many ways. But we also have to take precautions. And just a reminder to all of our listeners, we've had a very cold spell. It's still here. The temperature's in the teens, which means the wind chill factors can be below zero. And we have to take cautions when we go out and are exposed to such cold air. We talked in prior years that the cold air is taxing for our cardiac system, for our heart. It's taxing for our lungs. Inhaling the cold, dry air has effects on our respirations. And just walking is why we find ourselves winded. Just walking a block, when normally we may do that and not think twice about it, in the snow, the combination of the work it takes not to slip and how to grip your feet in the snow and move forward and the lumps and bumps of the sidewalk, combined with the coldness of the air, can really make it hard on us, and we fatigue easier than usual. We combine that with, if we're out shoveling, as I saw a gentleman was spreading salt and shoveling this morning, I'm happy to say he looked like he had layers on. He looked like he had his gloves on. He had a hat on. Very, very important, but it's also important to shovel properly. We ought not to do the famous push and kind of twist it to the left or twist it to the right. That strains our backs, and back injuries, musculoskeletal injuries go way up, not only in the lower back, but in the shoulder, from shoveling heavy snow. And even if the snow impresses us as being not so heavy, kind of fluffy and light, the repetitive motion of shoveling snow can have an effect on hurting our musculoskeletal system. And then every year, unfortunately, in the cooler winter months, we hear of heart attacks and the making angina worse because of the much increased cardiac work involved with shoveling, carrying something heavy, repetitive motion in cold weather with cold air.
I was going to ask you about that because I've been shoveling. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I had bypass surgery a year and a half ago. But I exercise fairly regularly, and
yes.
So I feel I'm in pretty good shape here. But is there something about the physical act of shoveling that overtaxes the heart, even in a physically fit person?
Yes, Barry. In the cold air, our body is trying to keep our core warm. We're vasoconstricting on our arms and legs, which is where our muscles are that we're trying to use to shovel, to keep blood flowing to our core and keep us warm because it's a very cold environment. Well, those things work against each other. In the heart, which is trying to keep our core, the inner part of our trunk, our body warm in the cold environment, is being told at the same time, get the blood out to our feet and our legs and our hands, because we need our muscles to shovel, to walk, to carry this snow. So it puts much more work on the heart. Inordinate for the amount of work we are doing is the impact it has on the heart. And that is why we see the increase of symptoms of coronary artery disease with angina and the increase of heart attacks that occur while folks are snow shoveling.
So somebody that considers themselves healthy and fit still needs to be cautious.
Take the precautions. Shovel. Don't fill the shovel up with the most snow it will hold. Just a comfortable amount of snow. Shovel forward and push, not lift. Shovel it and push it off the shovel in a forward direction. Now, you don't want to shovel right in the sidewalk you're shoveling, so tilt your entire body, not twist your body. tilt your entire body and push it straight to the side. Then turn your body, go straight forward, manageable amount, and turn your body and go straight. So that minimally, or at least it maximizes your efficiency and at the same time takes off some of your cardiac load, which is very important.
We're talking with Dr. Tony Snow from Community Health Net, and I might as well ask you.
Sure.
Because I should probably ask my own doctor, but you're here, so what the heck? And it's free on top of it. Ever since I had my surgery, my hands are more sensitive to the cold. Now, is that just a relation of my age, the fact that I'm getting older, or does it have something to do with my heart bypass surgery?
I would not say necessarily with your age, although there's a Raynaud's phenomena with vasoconstriction that takes in our periphery, which can be age-related to a degree, but it might be related to various medications. Some medications predispose us more to have that spasm in the peripheral part of our body, which can make the cold, my hands are colder than usual, or I get cold in the grocery store type phenomena. So it can be a combination, Barry, of what medicines we take, how our blood pressure is being maintained. Oftentimes, medicines we are on lowers our blood pressure, and it can lower it even lower than we were used to it being. And with that lower blood pressure, we can find that we get narrowing in the arterial tree in the peripheral area. So that can be a factor too. So it's really several factors. It's good that you know that though, Barry, because it's important when you mention hands. When we go outside in cold weather, and especially if there's a wind, it does not take long at all, and I'm talking minutes, where we can actually get frostbite, because it most manifests itself in our hands, because the little tiny arteries that go into our fingers, our feet, our ears, the tip of our nose. That's where people on these mountains who get stranded show the frostbite, because those are the vulnerable areas. So it's very important when we're out with hands in mind, Barry, to wear gloves. The coldest gloves they have for the folks who are going to be out have like an inner glove, often a cotton or inner glove, and then they have an outer mitten that goes over an inner glove, because they find that causes air layers to act as thermal protection from the cold and insulation, and it allows the fingers, the movement from the mittens, help our fingers not get so cold as individual fingers out there. The heat of the fingers keeps them warm. So it's actually like a glove in a mitten. And that shows how important it is to have layers. That's our take-home message for our listeners. When you go out, even if you call yourself walking over to the around the block, please, please wear layers, because the air between the layers helps insulate you from the cold. Please, please do not wear tight and restrictive things, because circulation is part of how your body's keeping heat. Please don't get soaking wet and stay out there, because if you have a good layered system, once it gets wet, you have broken down the thermal protection. And now you're vulnerable to the cold. Even with layers, once you're out there long enough to just get soaking wet, or if it turns into a wet snow while you're out there, please don't stay out there. Wear a hat, cover your face to protect your nose, keep your ears covered, they're vulnerable too, and keep aware of the time you're out there, because it can have an adverse effect.
Doesn't take long at all.
Can occur quickly.
We got a line lit. I don't know if somebody has a question for you or not. If you want to don those headphones, we'll see together.
Thank you.
And good morning. Do you have a question for Dr. Snow?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Dr. Snow.
Well, top of the morning to you.
Hey, I have to be on an aspirin regimen every day, a 325 milligram enteric coated aspirin every day. And I just heard some disturbing news. Actually, it was on ABC News that stated that people that are on an aspirin regimen could lead to macular degeneration. Have you heard anything?
You know what? I have not heard of like a direct contribution with aspirin regimens, as you have said, and I too am on an aspirin
regimen. I am too. Thanks, caller. I really appreciate this call.
So see, that's all of us, because in medicine we are constantly talking about something called the risk-benefit ratio when we make medical decisions, because everything, even water in excess, can have a bad effect on our body. So I say that to say we look at the risk-benefit. Now, aspirin does so many things that are positive for our body, particularly in the world of clotting, particularly in the world of platelets, particularly in cardiac health. working against risk factors for heart disease and stroke. There are so many good reasons to take aspirin and do it mindfully, of course, where we're protecting our stomach and we're watching for any effects of bleeding, bruising, etc. That, if there are other things that they are talking about being associated, I think we have to take it all with a grain of salt and kind of wait for the jury to come back. Now, with age-related macular degeneration, which is very common, we still don't know. There are lots of theories, but we're not exactly sure what causes macular degeneration, although they're getting better and better at devising ways to help intervene with the process and treat it. So to answer your question, I have not heard that, the direct association, and I'm not sure what mechanism would be passed forward for those two being causatively related.
Caller, I thank you for the call.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you for giving me something else to worry about in my life now. We'll see if we can find out more about that. And maybe Dr. Snow, you can
for my next time here, to the caller who just called, when I come back for my next time, I will try to hit the books and see what I can find on that and at least find what their saying might be the association, so we can talk more about that.
Then maybe talk about aspirin in general, because on one hand, it's a miracle drug, but on the other hand, it's got problems too.
That is
well,
a good idea. We'll tie those two together.
Very good.
Thank you for the call.
And thank you for the call. And we've tried this before, but going forward, when Dr. Snow is here, if you do have a question about anything health-related or medical-related, just go ahead and call in, and Dr. Snow will happily answer it, even if it's not what we're talking about at the time.
Sure, so that's right.
We'll try and do this in the new year, kind of a new policy in the new year.
I like
see,
that, Barry.
We'd like to have more participation from the listeners with you, Dr. Snow. And so
we sure do, and it's very important. And in healthcare now, we are a partnership. There's not one speaking to the other. It's a partnership, and the questions are always good.
All right, well, we're done for today. So, Dr. Snow, I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
We'll be back to wrap things up. It's 8:56, 4 in front of 9 at Jet Radio 1400.
Belvita breakfast biscuits help fuel your body all morning long. Check out the Belvita.